Hey, great friends, on a Tuesday afternoon, we put the whole thing back together again to get on the air and say what's up, spend a whole bunch of time, hang out together in our YouTube chat, over here in our Facebook chat. I'm starting today because I always screw this up. You ready? Like.
Go like this. Point over your right shoulder.
Yeah.
Up top. Yep, right there. Right there.
All right. Because on YouTube, the like is down here.
I know. Right? Oh, that's true.
And then now we've got a graphic up here. And I should get, I used to like those shirts that say, "Hey, I'm with stupid." And they would have a finger pointing to the other side.
just wear a shirt that says like.
Yeah, like that's a good show. Idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. Like a thumb sign. Like.
Yeah.
Great friends on Tuesday. So happy to be with everybody yet again. I will say that earlier in the day, I got a little bit of time in the George Floyd funeral down in Houston, Texas. And I didn't get there until late. I turned on the television and saw all of his brothers, I guess. And I say guess because I wasn't, like I said, I didn't sit down and get to watch. But anybody who was speaking was wearing a white suit. And I didn't kind of hear, is it because it's hot in Houston? Or was there some symbolism to that? I mean, I literally did not know because I just tuned in for a minute.
Right.
Alex, you're laughing at me.
I don't think it's because it's hot in Houston, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean,
because if you're wearing a black suit to a funeral, it's hot AF.
Yeah.
You feel me?
I think the family is wearing white because they asked everyone else to wear black. And so that's, I don't think this is coordination.
Yeah, I literally didn't know. And like I said, I was kind of like in for a minute. Oh my goodness, the funeral's happening now. The brother is speaking. Whenever I hear people talk about the last words, in fact, this past weekend, I saw somebody posted on Instagram. They had a sign at a protest and it had the last, call it 5 minutes of everything that he was saying to the cop as the cop had his knee on his neck. And right. when you read the words, I can't breathe, please. Any of the thing, mom, whatever he was saying, I mean, it really was very powerful. And now today is the funeral. So, man, it has been 2+ weeks of real, like we could never have predicted it, right? Like we could never have predicted coronavirus was going to shut down America for 3 months. We could never have predicted as America was going to reopen, 4 moron cops in Minneapolis do something so stupid. Okay. And ultimately kill a man in broad daylight on video for the whole world to see that in 2 weeks from everybody being worried about Corona 2+ weeks ago to today, where the world has protested, not LA, not Chicago, not New York, LA, Chicago, New York, and London, and name your place around the world that has protested what they saw. Four cops. Think about that. If the one cop gets off of him after 2 minutes because he's handcuffed and he's detained and he's subdued, if 4 cops get off this guy, put him back into the car, and the worst thing that happens is he's got a sore neck, nobody in America, nobody around the world ever hears of this story other than seeing the police brutality on video. You understand what I'm saying? What has happened in our world from the middle of March to here we are pushing the middle of June, absolutely just mayhem around the world, and maybe some change that's for the good. We'll see. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, Alex Padilla, what's going on?
Hey, everybody. I have a question for you two. I know I don't think John is a gym member. I know Scott is a gym member. Mm-hmm. Gyms get to open on June 11th, which is Thursday. Mm-hmm. You gonna go?
So this is a great question. This is a great question because the first part of the question, I would take it as, will you go or not go out of fear of Corona, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a different answer. My answer is I'm not likely to go back to the gym, and it's not because of fear of Corona or germs or anything like that. It's not closed spaces. It's not people grunting, it's not people sneezing, coughing, whatever. The reason I probably will not go back to the gym is because I found alternatives outside of the gym that I actually like more than going to the gym. And the gym lost me. And I worry for people who are gym owners, frankly. Many people are addicted to going to the gym. I'm addicted to exercising. I have found lots of alternatives to being in the gym, and I think I like them more. And maybe I will go back to the gym, but I don't think I'm going back on June 11th.
Yep. JB, what about you? Would you go back to a basketball gym? Like, that's what you do, right?
I specifically got a membership at LA Fitness to play basketball.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The next time I'm going in there is to cancel it because you got to do it in person. So Thursday when it opens, I will be visiting to cancel my membership. Because, nah, man, I can't do it. I can't do it, man. That's too many germs. The enclosed building is not properly ventilated. It's people touching the same stuff. You might be as hygienic as you possibly can, but you cannot account for the next person before you. You can't account for the person after you. And so people's hygiene at the gym is just gross, dude. And so the first couple of times the person goes, they might be like, okay, I got to wipe this down. I got to wipe this down. After 2 weeks, motherfuckers ain't wiping down.
Here's why I ask it, though. Here's why I ask it, because I don't know if you guys saw the report by the World Health Organization about asymptomatic carriers not being that, or how it's very rare that they transmit corona. I'm not a scientist. I don't know what that means, but I wonder how many people are going to use that to be like, see, if you're not sick, I'm not going to get it from you, because the World Health Organization said that's not how it happens.
You know how dangerous this information is now?
Yes.
That woman, where this report came from, she just simply misspoke. And so people took that, printed it everywhere, and ran with it. She has now come out and said, that's not what I meant to say.
Oh, nice.
And so now everybody's fucked, because now people have heard that. They're going to use that. They can go to an article and say, hey, this woman from the World Health Organization, simply exactly what you just said, said asymptomatic people don't give it to people. And she said, that's not what I said. So
it's a crazy time we're living in, Scott. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, that's what I was saying is that we went from early February in the Super Bowl. Right. And it's exactly where I start my story.
Yeah.
We went from the Super Bowl, where we're driving down the road on Sunday morning, the Sunday before the Super Bowl, so a week in advance. And the three of us are in a car listening to the reports of Kobe Bryant.
Do you remember exactly how it happened? We were leaving Pratty's condo. I got a text from a buddy right before we got in the elevator. I think it was me and Brown, or you were getting the car.
Yeah. Because I told him
Kobe died, according to TMZ. And we got in the car and we told you, and it just, then the whole day was about that.
Yeah, so when I think about the Sunday before the Super Bowl, maybe that's end of January.
Like the 27th, I think?
Right, so Kobe Bryant has his helicopter crash late January. By early February, there's a picture of the three of us. You could probably put it up on the screen, Alex. It's on our new website, scottandbr.com. While I'm telling everybody to please like, and subscribe, I guess I'm also saying go check out our new website, scottandbr.com. On the website, there's a picture of the three of us in Miami at the Clevelander Hotel. It's my favorite picture. And of the three of us. I mean, it's not my favorite picture.
I was going to say, damn, dog.
Just the three of us.
I wouldn't be upset if it was. It's a good picture.
Listen, there's only two pictures I like of the three of us, okay? And that's the other one on the website, which is us looking very Miami Vicey, you know? So when I think about that day, we're sitting at the Clevelander Hotel in South Beach amongst thousands of people that are in Miami for the Super Bowl. Somebody sent me a comment on Instagram that day and said, hey, you're drinking that Corona, you're going to get the Corona. And I swear to God, between Kobe Bryant dying and all week of Super Bowl and that picture with a Corona beer, when somebody said to me, you're going to get Corona from drinking Corona, I was like, what the hell is Corona? Mm-hmm. What is coronavirus? It doesn't mean shit to me. It's like all that other stuff don't mean anything to me. It's never going to come to me, right? And then
we were being told. I'm not. This is not a political statement. We were just being told it's not coming here. It's under control.
But now here we are. That's beginning of February, right? That's beginning of February. Take it 1 month later, the world goes on shutdown. Take it 3 months later, the world is coming out of shutdown, and then all of a sudden, because this is where the story starts, four bad cops. Four really, really bad cops do something insanely stupid, and not one of the three has enough courage to say to the guy with his knee on George Floyd's neck, okay, we're good. Okay, enough. Not one. And if one of those four cops has courage, one of those three cops, if one of them has courage has guts, has a spine, has a conscience. If one of those guys just asks that guy to get off of his neck, guess what? 2 weeks ago, chances are we were coming out of COVID. Now we're coming out of COVID and we're still in George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, equality, racial injustice, police brutality. I mean, we're in the middle now of a huge, much more important and impactful conversation, not just in America, around the world.
I wonder how much bigger what we're going through right now, how much bigger it would be if it wasn't for Corona. How many people are still scared to go outside their house into large gatherings? How many people around the world are still scared to go around their house in large gatherings? I think it could be bigger.
Let me pose it to you the other way though. How much smaller might it be if people hadn't been locked up in their homes for 90 days, quarantined? I mean, how many people came out? They were like, oh yeah, I got to get out and shit's going crazy and I'm going in.
How many people said, fuck it?
I'm just asking. I mean, you ask a great question. How much bigger would it be? I'm asking the other side. How much smaller might it be? So, John Browner, what's going on with you today, man?
Nothing, man. I got a chance to check out the funeral. I turned it off after a little bit. It was too much for me to watch. I don't feel like a funeral should ever be televised. I understand we live in a society now where people want to see other people's grief, but I pass on things of that nature. So I tuned in just to kind of see how it was going and kind of what the plan was. And then after that, I backed out, man, and went on about my day.
Okay, well, let's get rolling around here. Let's do it. I want to ask you guys, everybody who's watching right now, everybody who's on YouTube's chat, everybody who's on Facebook's chat, and everybody that will listen on their own time on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everything else.
Like and subscribe there too.
Yeah, please do, because I just was noticing one of the things. I love how we do all of our show business on air. One of the things I was noticing, Alex, I was looking at another podcast yesterday, and in their YouTube, you know, they describe what's happening on their podcast, and then they actually have a section where they thank their sponsors, and that's something I'd like to actually add to our YouTube description of the Daily Show, because I know over the last 2 weeks I haven't done a good job of thanking all of our sponsors. So quickly, here goes. Corky's Pest Control. Cork, we appreciate you, pal. We do. The $35 refer a great friend is a terrific policy, really. Policy is a strong word.
Promotion.
That's a nicer word. Thank you. $35. Hey, I'm a Corky's customer. My friend Alex, he really needs you guys. Alex says, yes, I do need you guys. Alex becomes a Corky's customer. I referred him. I'm the great friend. I get $35. If you're a Corky's customer, refer a great friend and take that $35. I want to say to Tori Holistics, you guys have got me and my girlfriend turned on to the liquids now.
Whoa.
Yeah. No. It's true.
It didn't come out right.
Turned on.
That came out right, I think.
Yeah.
She talked about it when she came on.
Ruthie has explained that sometimes a little bit of potion can make things even hotter, if you will.
Can put a little bit of motion.
Potion. A little bit of potion create a little bit of motion. Okay.
That's right. And some lotion. Yeah. Hey. And so, well, wait a second. Anyway.
What?
Your girlfriend's not there every day.
Oh, my God.
Tori Holistics. Use our promo code Grande, save 20%. And I'm telling you right now, it's a big chunk of change because this stuff is highly taxed. And I suggest to you that if you're buying any THC or CBD products of any kind, use our guys at Tori Holistics, toriholistics.com. Use our promo code Grande. And Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services, our guy, Gary Cooper, Koopa Loop. Gary, we're going to keep sending people your way. 858-376-1299. Look, if you're a homeowner right now and you're thinking about selling, you should talk to Gary, because what I'm hearing is this is the big height of the market time, especially right now. We're in June. We're in the summertime. People are trying to move and position their kids for schools. If you are looking to sell your home, talk to Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299. If you're looking to refinance, you're looking to save money, you're looking to move money around and pay off some credit and debt, talk to Gary Cooper. Eliminate the smoke and mirrors. Never make a move in real estate without our guy, Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299. And I'm just going to shout out SMS Global right here over my left shoulder, smsglobal.com.
Oh, my bad. The screen. Yeah. I'm always thinking about the graphics.
I know. And I'm looking on the screen right now and I'm looking, oh, this is over my left shoulder. Okay. I can figure it out. SMSglobal.com. I hope everybody's getting our text. Alex, is there a way to put up on the screen for everybody? We haven't promoted this a lot.
Yeah, I do. I try to do messaging. It.
Okay, cool.
It's up.
So good. So there's our text messaging number. For those of you that are listening on audio podcast, Alex, can you read it, please?
844-870-5444. 1-844-870-5444. Text great friends, no space in between, sorry. And you'll be added to the list.
Yep, and we'll send you text messages to remind you of the show and send you links and everything else. Okay, thanks to all of our great sponsors. Did I miss anybody? Total T Clinic. Oh, I'm visiting the Total T Clinic on Thursday.
Oh,
I'm
busy. Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you're going to do that and the liquids?
Yeah. Give me one over here. Give me a B12 over here. And then I'm talking to the Total T Clinic about, you know, the future of their business, getting it back online, getting it back onto the show, putting it on radio when we move into the radio world, or when we expand is a better word, to the radio world. So stay tuned for that. So thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to all of our great friends. So guys, let me throw something at you here to get started today. And I'd love to hear everybody's opinion, not just you guys, but everybody that's watching and listening right now. I'd love to get everybody's opinion in the chat rooms. Here goes. Since this George Floyd thing has happened, and I say thing, I mean, since he was murdered on the streets, think about what you've seen sitting in your own home, probably watching on television, or think about what you've seen out there in the world, whether you were protesting or whether you were out and about in the world where there wasn't protest. Think about everything you've seen from then to now. Man is murdered on the streets. America goes absolutely haywire with riots and looting and banks burning and suburban towns being here in San Diego, California, La Mesa, California, being a large part of it, looted, burned, etc. Okay. To the all-American white guy quarterback saying something that was mistimed, to say the least, offended so many people, to his apology, to the league, the NFL, we apologize. I mean, all the things that have happened in the last 2 weeks that you probably would never have believed would happen. So my thought has been this, and this is where I want your advice. My thought has been, what can we do? What can three regular guys like us do? You know? And I've been looking at the man in the mirror. I told you, I'm Michael Jackson stuck in my head. Shamon.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought we were going to make it without that, but okay. Oh, what?
That's right. Moves.
You should stand up and dance.
No, don't. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you should stand up and dance. No. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No. Oh, shit. No.
That's some Michael Jackson right there.
That's great. I wish I could play the song.
Oh, no. Alex, awesome. Alex, why would you do that to him?
Because I put both of you on screen and it makes me personally laugh. So that's why.
Oh, God.
It's good. It's good right there. So here's the thing. I'm thinking to myself, we're three regular guys. All right. We got a little teeny tiny bit of influence amongst San Diegans, Southern Californians, and the 50,000 or so people a week that come in contact with what we do. So, okay, what can we really do to make change if we care? Otherwise, you know, I go in to start breaking down NFL football teams and their rosters. You know, I can deeply engage in some strong opinions about whether or not Major League Baseball will or even should come back. I mean, we can go there.
Deeply engage.
Deeply.
Ooh.
Deep.
Wow. Deep. Ooh. You got that baseball analysis in you like that?
Oh, deep. Mm. Deep. So we could talk about these things and probably stay safe, if you will. Or we can attack the issues at hand. I think our actions have shown we want to attack the issues at hand. So here's my question. I've been suggesting that we put together a summit. And as Paul Vaden, the former, you know, light middleweight IBF champion said yesterday, I think it was light middleweight. I think I got my weight class is wrong. When Paul Vaden said, look, I don't want to hear about talk and I don't want to hear about hashtags. Mm-hmm. I want action. Okay. So what I'm thinking to myself is communication, respectful dialogue is the way to create some positive momentum. And by the way, it's all I got. It's all I got. I don't have $5 million to donate to a cause.
You don't have $100 million like Jordan Brand does?
I don't have $100 million like Michael Jordan. The Jordan Brand has committed now to these types of causes. I don't know very specifically which organizations he's giving money to, but again, Michael Jordan can say, look, $100 million, that's going to help. I don't have $100 million. I don't have it. And even if I had 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, I don't know how much good that money can do versus taking action. So my action was, look, let's put together a summit, a conference. Let's take interesting people from different walks of life and let's have real conversations. So I have already gotten a commitment on June 19th, 619, 619, the area code of San Diego. 619, we were working and are working with the San Diego Loyal, the soccer team. Landon Donovan's going to be involved. And they said they announced their formation of their soccer club on June 19th, 619. John, there's another historical significance to 619, correct?
Yes. 619, June 19th is Juneteenth, also known as the day that slavery was abolished in America, the official date. So it is celebrated widely amongst people in the South, and it is celebrated amongst Black people. Some people may not know about it. It's fairly new to a lot of people, but Black people who understand their culture are very familiar with the date, June 19th.
I thought you said that it's celebrated whitely in the South.
Greatly.
Widely. Oh. Greatly.
Oh, widely. Widely. Yes. I thought you said whitely. I'm like, it's celebrated whitely in the South. I'm like, okay.
I mean, white people should celebrate it. It was a day that they realized that it was wrong to enslave people. So
right. And by the way, isn't it interesting? Like, I mean, historically speaking, from an American history standpoint, I don't remember anybody ever teaching me that. And I don't think of us as having like a national holiday for it. Like maybe that's a day that should be more widely recognized, not whitely, widely recognized.
I think it's on every calendar. Like okay, it's on your iPhone calendar right now. If you go into your iPhone on the calendar, holidays, Juneteenth is in there.
Yep. Okay. I will look. Juneteenth. So
It's recognized, but a bunch of people probably went, what the hell is that?
What is that?
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, I can guarantee you right now, 99.9% of white people saw Juneteenth on their calendar. And what the hell did I put in my calendar? God damn it. Right. What the hell is this?
What am I doing that day? Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. So I want to get your opinions. Let me get right to it. I have invited James Blake on 619 on June 19th. And James Blake said, count me in. Mm-hmm. Landon Donovan and the San Diego Loyal Soccer Club has said, count me in. Shelley Zimmerman has told me, count me in, the former chief of police. Paul Vaden yesterday begrudgingly said, yes, I will do this. I spoke to a friend of mine last night who I think is going to be one of the most interesting contributors to this entire panel. His name is Howard Wright. You guys have met him. Howard Wright was a superstar high school basketball player here in San Diego. He went on to play at Stanford, where he was an All-American. He played in the NBA with the Orlando Magic with Shaquille O'Neal. He played professionally in Europe. He got done playing basketball. He became an executive with Qualcomm, and he's now an executive with Intel in the Bay Area. So his father, his name was Ernie Wright. He was an old San Diego Charger who started an organization here in San Diego called Pro Kids, which was intended to help inner city youth come off the streets and help them with education and sports. And the sport that they chose was golf. So I think Howard Wright, who I talked to this morning, who's now an executive at Intel, would be a phenomenal addition to our panel. So here's my question. James Blake, Landon Donovan, Shelley Zimmerman, Paul Vaden, Howard Wright, and I might even need to add one more person to this panel. But my question to you guys is this. Is it worthwhile to do this? Am I going to put in a ton of time, effort, and energy to try and spread the word, to have reasonable confrontation and discussion and argumentation and share thoughts, ideas, opinions, admit vulnerabilities, etc.? Can that be impactful in any way? Because if it can't be impactful in any way, I'll just give it up and go, hey, look, I wanted to do this, but nobody thinks it's going to be cool. I'm just trying to contribute. And that's what my thought is, what can I contribute? I'm a white guy who's not afraid to have these conversations. Many white people are either afraid because they don't want to be labeled a racist, or they have super strong opinions on the other side already. And so you can't necessarily have, although when we can go on either side, we can't necessarily have the back and forth with open-mindedness. I'm asking you guys, with a panel like James Blake and Landon Donovan and Paul Vaden and Howard Wright, I mean, and Shelley Zimmerman, does that not sound like a worthwhile venture? What do you say, Grande?
I think you need a call to action after the summit. Okay. Like there should be, I get the point of it. I get the reason of it, but what comes after it?
Okay.
I think that's the only thing that's particularly missing for me, whether it's, I don't know what, I don't know what.
What can we, listen, how much more should we do? And I mean, in other words, should we have a game plan? Like, look, this is the summit. And then after the summit, we're planning on going to do this. Or, hey, let's figure out after the summit, what's next? I don't know. I don't have the, I'm just mm-hmm. dealing with the what's in front of me here and now. Mm-hmm. Brown, what do you say, man?
I think an opportunity for people to have an open and honest conversation is always good, especially when it's regarding something like this, because I think you can get a lot of people once they're in a room with someone and they know that this is a real conversation being had between people in a circle, they will share, they will be honest. And if you have a person leading the conversation that leads with honesty, I think it's a great opportunity to make sure that this conversation goes over in the way it's intended to. Now, the after action of this, how do you build upon this? I wish that we could say we could get these people and these organizations that they represent afterwards to do a march or to do a walk or to do some type of balloon release. But because of COVID-19, I don't know if you want to be gathering people in large spaces, or we could do like a charity soccer game where all the proceeds raised go to the local chapter of some former NAACP or violence police community, whatever the case may be. But you can't really be playing active sports like that because the COVID-19 situation. So it's very difficult to rebound after this with something that is on a larger scale where it involves civilians or people who watch what we saw and wanted to be a part of it.
So my question to you guys then becomes this again. And look, I may be, this could be as simple as this. Could you imagine the three of us and take James Blake, Landon Donovan, Paul Vaden, Howard Wright, Shelley Zimmerman, and maybe another person or two, and do one big giant Zoom call and take that Zoom call? Because what does it matter if we're all in person at the Rock Church?
But I think it matters. And that's the difference. I think it matters if it's in person. I think it matters that there are people, because the point of this is being able to sit across from someone and have a difficult conversation. Vaden will not be afraid to look at Shelley Zimmerman and give his honest critique on what has happened between him and police. I honestly, believe it or not, it is going to sound insane, but I think Bert would have a lot to contribute to this conversation, because after hearing him speak last week about what he's done for youth in this community, I think it would be very important to hear his message when it comes to something like this. So I think having it in person is important because you can feel the energy in the room. You might be able to see the discomfort of people admitting things that they thought they would never admit, or being open-minded to things that they never thought they'd be open-minded to. And on a Zoom, you lose that. Yes, the information and the sharing is there, but you lose that energy between people honestly speaking to each other. I think that's very valuable.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I mean, I talked to James Blake about it yesterday, and he said, well, how many people do you think would be there? And I said, I probably just the panel, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 people. And he said, okay. He goes, my wife would be fine with that. He goes, if it's like 500 people and it's in an auditorium, he goes, I'm not going to do that because I still have, you know, small children at home and I don't want to take the risk of COVID. So look, I don't have an answer. My answer is not today, hey, guess what? We're going to do this summit. We're going to all talk to each other. We're going to all learn from each other. And then we're going to go do this. I don't have an answer for that. What I do have is an idea to start what I'm calling the healing process, meaning how can we get better now? You know, if you get hurt and you go to the hospital and they fix your broken arm and they put it in a cast, every day thereafter, it's getting better, better, better. It's healing. Eventually, you take the cast off. You know, my goal is to say, look, America is injured. Okay. We're now starting the healing. We have to heal. Everybody has to heal. George Floyd's family has to heal. City of Minneapolis is going to have to heal. America, the world, we're going to heal. And but that means progress. That means forward momentum. So my little summit concept is intended to be the beginning of that. And when you have an opportunity to put together these types of personalities from these different walks of life, this could be valuable.
I disagree with you in this sense. Which part? You do have the answer. You don't have the answer. You do have the answer. The summit is the answer because you're trying to do something, bring people together from different spectrums of whether it be race relations, public relations, or business relations. So you're closing the gap between these people who normally wouldn't have had these types of conversations together at the same time. So that is an answer.
I would like to learn, my friend Howard Wright, for example. You know how many times I've been with my friend Howard Wright where there's 10 black guys or 10 white guys and he's the only black guy?
Been there before.
Yeah. And so I've never sat with him and gone, hey, can I ask you a question? What is it like to be the only black guy in a group of all white guys? What does that feel like for you? I've never had that conversation with him. So if you took a Howard Wright, who's an executive at Intel, who's a Stanford alum, and you put him together with Shelley Zimmerman, and he talks to her about things that he knows, has experienced, et cetera, you don't take those two people and put them together. They're not calling each other on the phone. So maybe that is the good, putting people together, learning, talking, creating relationships, et cetera. Maybe that is one of the answers. So
Where's it broadcasting to?
Well, that's another part of it. You know, now that I've kind of checked boxes on who's willing to be there, now I got to figure out how to shoot it, where to shoot it, and where it should go. Should it just be something that's posted on YouTube and social media? Should it be something that I should talk to a local television channel about? Hey, do you guys want to air this on a Sunday afternoon?
Yep.
Me, personally, I've mentioned this before. I think if you put this on KUSI, I think you have a higher probability of more people being
Okay, wait a second. He was starting to get a little fuzzy. A higher probability.
Oh, start over. You froze.
A higher probability of what?
Damn it. That was good too. I think you have a higher probability of people being more attracted to it who normally wouldn't come across it if it's on a KUSI, if it's on a Fox 5 who does a lot of local stuff, if it's on a station where people can sit down and have it available to it. And in addition to that, we use what we do and stream it out on our platform. The San Diego Lowell stream it out on their platform. James Blake streams it on his platform. Because again, our goal is to reach as many people as possible. KUSI would be able to technically, or the Rock Church would be able to technically give us the equipment to achieve that. We don't have that equipment. We just don't.
Mm. Well, maybe how about this? I have a better idea now. Uh-oh. What if we do this in the KUSI television studios?
Exactly.
If they would accommodate us, that would be kind of cool.
They do a thing called Good Morning San Diego or San Diego This Week. They do a magazine style show on the weekend that airs, because I used to work there, so I know this. And they have a 30-minute forum where they let people talk about things that are going on in the community. I'm pretty sure they let you hijack that for this purpose if you tell them who you have.
All right, let me talk to them. Okay, so look, bottom line is this. The reason I'm asking you guys is because I need a little bit of help. You know, I mean, if we are going to do this, then it has to be a team effort. So I just wanted to make sure you guys were in. You know, that was really my biggest issue.
I'm available 100%, whatever you need me to do in regards to this.
100.
Because I think this is important, because I can't recall the last time I saw the San Diego community, people of affluence, discussing racial issues. So I'm all about this, to be 100% honest with you. I'm all about this. And I think the viewers that watch KUSI could actually benefit from this as well, because a lot of people, like you said, they're afraid to ask the question. They're afraid to be deemed something for not knowing something else. And that is the dangerous part in this current situation that we're in. People are afraid to ask questions because they're afraid to be deemed or looked at as one thing or another.
Well, I would tell you this, that unless you are a white commentator on Fox News, or you're considered a conservative talker, be it like a Rush Limbaugh, a Sean Hannity, our friend in New York, Sid Rosenberg, Tony Bruno even is a sports radio talk show host, and you can just follow his tweets and see how right-wing he is about these sorts of things. If you're white in America and you saw the Drew Brees situation, you're probably shutting your freaking mouth right about
now. Oh, yeah.
You probably don't even want to have any of these kinds of discussions. In the final analysis, I will invite Drew to this event and see if he wants to be a part of it. I'm not, you know, going to tell you, oh, he didn't want to be a part of this, because he might have other plans of his own. And he's such a big star and we're just this little tiny nothing that he may not want to do this with us. Although on the other hand, he might say this is the perfect way to start this as a grassroots effort. So either way, I would say that your point is, I think that a lot of people don't want to be labeled something.
Yes.
You know, when Drew Brees, let's face it, when Drew Brees is labeled racist by some.
That happened. That's true. That did happen.
Because of his, I'm going to call it ignorance. Okay. And when I say ignorance, let me tell you what I mean. When he talked about his grandfather's fighting for America, and then all of his teammates came out and said, my grandfather, my great grandfather, they fought too. The only difference is when they got back, they weren't celebrated like war heroes. They were told you can't come into this restaurant. For every guy that said that to Drew Brees, my guess would be that Drew Brees is like, shit, man, I don't know anything about the history of this, man. All I knew was about my own grandfather. I didn't know any of the history. I didn't know anything outside of my grandfather and what I learned in school about World War II. I never thought for a moment about Malcolm Jenkins and his potential grandfather that did the same thing that my grandfather did. The only difference is my grandfather came home and there's a statue. And when his grandfather came home, he was told he can't ride the bus. So that ignorance is what had many people label a Drew Brees a racist. When in actuality, I don't believe Drew Brees is a racist. I just believe Drew Brees was ignorant about history and how it impacts people. It's just my own opinion. But that's my point. If you're white, unless you're already completely right-wing, dude, unless you're already completely committed as Sean Hannity, as Rush Limbaugh, as our friend Sid Rosenberg, regardless of politics, yes, still my friend. Once you've declared, you know, you just keep fighting the good fight. You're like Lance Armstrong in his documentary. Lance Armstrong, I don't know if you guys have watched any of Lance's documentary on ESPN. One thing Lance Armstrong said, the documentarian said, how do you feel about all this lying when you watch yourself in videos now of you lying back then? How does that make you feel? He goes, no problem. I don't have any problem with it. He goes, I knew what I was doing. You live the lie as long as you can live the lie. That's what Lance Armstrong was saying. These other guys, they will
lean into it.
They will lean into their position. Disagree or agree, they will lean into that position. So I guess my point is, John, is I feel like as a white male American who's 50 years old and is willing to discuss these issues, talk, conversation, respect, argumentation, etc., gets the job done. In fact, I'll just give you guys one quick little compliment here, really quick. I got an email from a longtime great friend. His name is Brenton Grettenberger. That's a name you probably haven't heard before, is it?
Did you say Brenton Grettenberger?
That's right. That's rare.
Brenton. Yeah. I've never heard of Brenton.
Yeah, me neither.
Brenton Grettenberger is a longtime great friend. He's 35 years old. He's from San Diego. He lives in France right now. He was a 1090 listener forever. He loves the fact that the show is available to him on YouTube. He begs me, he says, keep it free, please. Don't go into any of these Patreon platforms. Don't go into anything that people will have to pay for. This is the beauty of YouTube, being around the world. He goes on, Alex, and he says how great you are and how you have such terrific opinions. And for a guy who doesn't necessarily like to be opinionated when it comes to things outside of sports, how great your opinions are. He goes on to talk about you, Browner, who says that you have recently stopped shouting and therefore your points have come across much better to him, blah, blah, blah. So here's this guy in Europe who in a town called, I don't know how to pronounce it, B-I-A-R-R-I-T-Z, Biarritz, France, B-I-A-R-R-I-T-Z. He says it's the San Diego of France. He says it's like the La Jolla of France. And anyway, he was
that
very
lovely.
He was very, very complimentary of the work that you guys have been doing. So,
Should we start reading mean tweets now?
Yeah, let's start reading mean ones too.
Yeah.
Mean ones for people like you guys suck.
Plenty
of those.
You guys
suck. Tell Browner to shut the F up. Yeah. You know,
Browner's a racist.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, look, so let me just say, I'm glad we had this discussion. I'm curious to see how everybody will come out on the YouTube chat. Do you guys think it's worthwhile or do you not? We think we're going to go for it. We've got a great lineup already planned. We've got a very interesting date, meaning 619 as the end of slavery, as 619 San Diego, the area code, 619, the date that the Loyal was introduced as a new soccer club in San Diego. It's a good day. Friday, 619. Yeah, so let's figure. We're gonna work towards that now because we've got less than 2 weeks. Okay, great friends. On a Tuesday afternoon, we are being presented by Corky's Pest Control, 1-800-901-1102, by Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services, 858-376-1299, by Torrey Holistics, where you can save 20% by using our promo code Grande. We send shout outs to Rock and Wine Tours in Temecula and to the Total Tea Clinic and to smsglobal.com. Okay. So NFL players now, I want to kind of throw a few stories out there today, jump into a few opinions, but NFL players now allowed to kneel. This is like another one of these subplot stories after the fact that NFL players will now be permitted to kneel should they choose to. Alex is putting up on the screen a picture of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed kneeling before a 49ers game. And if I don't know if you can focus you in
look
on
at
this.
The Gatorade tanks.
See the Gatorade tanks on the right side of the picture? And if you look at the Gatorade tanks and you look just a little bit to the left, there's a very handsome reporter with his head down, pen in his right hand, notepad in his left hand, headphones on. A very handsome reporter, if I do say so myself, reporting on what's happening.
Was this a TV game?
This was a radio game. This was a radio game? Yeah, if
I had to guess. And you still went jacket?
Yeah, because you know, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I want to tell you that I think this picture of Colin Kaepernick with, and I'm way behind him, but I remember them telling me, just keep your eye on Kaepernick so you can report what he does, et cetera. I want to say this is a game like Christmas Eve, 2015 or 16. The Chargers were playing the Niners, and Frank Gore, I'm telling you,
was it that crazy comeback game?
Yeah, Frank Gore put a move on Eric Weddle. Eric Weddle's jock is still on the field. Colin Kaepernick made spectacular runs. Looked like the Niners were going to run away with this game. And Rivers does what Rivers does, brings him back late in the game. Nick Novak kicks a long field goal to win the game, and the game is over. And they shocked everybody by the Chargers beating him. But that day, that night, I was standing right there behind Colin Kaepernick. So allowed to kneel. What happened?
Well, from what I read in this Pro Football Talk article is that, do you remember where they're like, if you're going to kneel, if you don't want to stand for the anthem, you have to stay in the locker room. And I guess like low key, it was reported, but it was never made a big deal that they couldn't actually enforce that. Mm-hmm. So since 2018, players have been able to kneel. I just think once Kaepernick left, I don't think anybody else was kneeling.
I think the NFL did what they were going to do when they don't want something done. They overarchingly let you know behind the scenes that if you do this, you will pay the price. And we're going to make an example out of this guy because this guy is the one that's getting all the attention over this. And if the rest of you want to do it, fine. But understand, this could be you. This could be you. And so the only person that really has stood by that has been Eric Reed. And I think the guy who played for the Dolphins, Kenny Stills. Those are the only three guys that took this to the end, man. That's it.
You think anybody in any sport will kneel going forward? Meaning, I saw somebody post a question the other day on Sided. Should Drew Brees kneel the first game of the season?
He's going to kneel the first game of the season.
He shouldn't, but he will.
No way.
He shouldn't. He shouldn't, but he will.
The whole team's going to do it. The whole team's – I bet you – the majority of teams are going to do it as a team.
But this is the same – again, this is the same bucket of bolts we fell for the first time because remember Jerry Jones kneeling before the game.
No, they did before the anthem though.
Right, that's my whole point. They will find a way of solidarity that everyone can do it, and it seems like everyone's on the same page without actually honoring the message. Now, if you want to do it during the anthem – I guarantee you Jerry Jones is not going to allow that.
Well, wait a second. Think about this. But think about it like this. You ready? Let's say you're Drew Brees and you're the Saints. And Malcolm Jenkins says to you, look, man, you know what I think would be a wonderful gesture? How about the entire team kneel before the game? What do you say to that? And let's say Drew says to him, you know, I don't really like kneeling for the anthem. I've made my position clear. I'm really sorry that I offended you with what I said and when I said it and how I said it. I'm very, very sorry. But you have to understand, I believe in standing for the anthem and putting my hand over my heart. So I don't really love the idea of kneeling for the anthem. But let's just say Malcolm Jenkins convinces Drew Brees that kneeling is a good thing, right? What if Drew Brees goes into the locker room and says, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to kneel for the national anthem. Every one of us, we're all going to kneel for the national anthem, right? And all the black guys on the team go like this, Brown, or they go, hell yeah, Drew, that's what we're going to do. We're going to all kneel. And then some of the other guys are like, you know, I'm really sorry, but, you know, I don't want to be bullied into doing something that I don't believe in. And then your random white guy and the whole 40 of the 50 guys on the team are kneeling. And the only guys that are standing there with their hands over their heart happen to be white. What do you suppose they'll say about those guys?
Hey, listen, that's why I think Drew Brees should not kneel, because you can support the cause and still hold your values true to yourself. I think that is the part that is lost on all of this. Drew Brees doesn't have to kneel to acknowledge that those that are kneeling in silent, respectful protest due to police brutality across America. You can do that. You don't have to kneel during the anthem. If he does, it looks like he's bending and he's changing, and people will always see that as disingenuous. You're not going to win over everybody.
Can Drew Brees do anything to win? Is there anything Drew Brees can do to get back into America's good graces? Have you seen the white people in, I believe it was North Carolina, that were washing the feet of black people, asking for their forgiveness for white people? Like, I saw the Pope years ago go to I don't know if it was a homeless shelter or what have you. And he's on the ground and he's washing these homeless people's feet, right? And I'm like, wow, this Pope he's incredible. What a guy, right? He's the Pope, but he'll go down to this homeless shelter and he'll wash these people's feet. Wow, what a man. And then the other day I see these white people washing these feet of these black people. Like, I'm so sorry, man. I'm sorry for all of white America. And I'm like, what the hell? I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know what that gesture means. Another white guy moment. Should I know what that means? Is that what we need to do? Drew Brees wash Colin Kaepernick's feet, John Browner? Is that what you want?
As a Christian, okay? As a Christian, Drew Brees decides to do that, that is a form of no one is higher than the next person. Jesus washed people's feet. And so the symbolism of white people, but washing black people's feet is a sign of them saying that we are equal to you. No, you're not above us. We're not above you. So we're going to wash your feet it's religious symbolism.
You'll have to excuse me. I didn't know what it was. As a non-Christian, you'll have to excuse me. Jew privilege is what that is right there.
But are we really worried about what Drew Brees has to do to get, like, he'll figure it out or he won't. Like, you know, like, he was the story already, but he's not the story anymore.
No, the question was, will athletes going forward kneel? As an example.
To go back to that question, though, remember when this all started and it was a thing for a while? Yeah. A lot of players knelt, not just Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. A lot of players knelt, and a lot of their teammates, some black, some white, that were not kneeling but were with them, put their hand on their shoulder as they knelt.
Or put their hands up. Remember Chris Long putting his hand up?
Yeah. We're going to see that all over again, man.
What about the NBA? You ready? I'm LeBron James. I'm the biggest sports star on the planet. I have a very strong opinion about what's going on. I'm not bashful in sharing that opinion. I'm pro Kaepernick. I'm pro kneeling. I'm pro protest. I'm pro all of these things. But yet I'm in the NBA where we've all made a decision as a unit to all stand. Well, guess what? My feelings have changed. I don't want to stand anymore. I'm LeBron James and I want to kneel. Do you think that any NBA player will choose to kneel?
No, they can't. It's against the rules. That's the difference. That's why the NBA, I don't know how the NBA skated on this entire time, but it is illegal. It is against the collective bargaining agreement for a player in the NBA to kneel or do any form of disrespect or whatever during the anthem. And this started with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who turned his back during the anthem and prayed because he was Muslim. And that got him banned from the league. And so I don't know if they snuck it in after that, but you can't do it in the NBA. Now,
But I have a question. Isn't that what a protest is?
Yes.
So, yes. Hey, it's against the rules. We decided as the NBA, we're all going to stand. The world has changed. I'm LeBron. I'm the leader. I have a strong opinion. I've been tweeting about it. And I need to use my platform, the biggest one I've got, to kneel. And even though we said two years ago, we're not kneeling, the world has changed. So against the rules, that's what a protest is.
Look, man, I don't think
LeBron, but LeBron, do you remember LeBron came out and said, I'm going to stand for the anthem, like in 2017, 2018.
That was then. Yeah, that was then.
That was then. But I think I think you're asking about the right player. In the NBA, I think LeBron speaks for a lot of the NBA. I think if he decides I'm going to kneel, the Lakers are going to kneel, I think it would make a lot of more ripples than if, like, I don't know, JaVale McGee was like, I'm going to kneel, you know? Asking about LeBron is asking about the right player.
I don't think he's going to do it. I think the NBA has done a tremendous job in allowing their players to vocalize, whether it be on social media or whether it be in locker rooms or wearing team paraphernalia.
I can't breathe shirts again.
Yeah, during the Donald Sterling situation, turning their jersey during their warmups inside out in solidarity, the NBA has always allowed their players to express themselves on all platforms in all ways. And so I don't see them now going against that. But you're right. Times have changed.
I have a question, too. Like, and this is not me personally. I've always wondered, like, why do we play the anthem for every big event? Like, I never understood why we even do it. Like, I'm telling you, like, events. Like, I'm not talking about sports. Like, everywhere in this country, if there's a big event, we play the anthem. I've never understood why. I don't mind it. I just never understood why it became a thing.
Well, in sporting events, you know, I've always liked the notion of that all-American theme before a game. But there are times where I've been to not sporting events, just events.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's all stand up for the national anthem. And I guess I don't really have an answer other than
I was just curious. It's like, you know,
about our country.
Yeah. I've been down to Mexico soccer games. They don't play an anthem in Mexico. I went to a Manchester United game in Manchester and there's no anthem. You know, you can watch sports around the world. There's really no anthem. It's like a very American thing to do. It's very curious that it's not just sports. It's all big events.
Well, if they don't do it in other parts of the world, then we should be doing it because we are the leaders, not the followers. That's my opinion.
If also, how old is it? Because in the NFL, I know they didn't do it before every NFL game.
The NFL don't they like get like a lot of money from military branches to do it too? Because it becomes like this big spectacle thing.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I seriously don't know if they get a lot of money from companies to do the anthem. But you got to obviously think about the number of companies that are wrapped up into the notion of being all American, whether it's USAA or whether it's Bud Light beer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are things that are considered all American. And when you're a professional sports league and you're trying to market and partner with those types of companies, it makes all the sense in the world. Now,
by the way, I like it because in a big boxing match, dude, when it was like Marquez versus Pacquiao, you know, they would do the American anthem because it's happening in Vegas. But then you do like the Philippine national anthem and then you do the next. It's freaking, it gives you chills. It's pretty badass.
Dude. The NFL got caught charging the armed forces money to do the opening ceremony with the flag, the flyover. Like they were paying the NFL money for that. And the NFL, when this report came out, they just gave the money back because they didn't want it to look bad.
Yeah. But that was a deathspin report. Yeah.
Oh, I do remember that. I remember that. But also a lot of remember their dealings. You know, if you had a dealing with USAA and they're a military organization and they say, hey, we got this great idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring home a guy who's been in Afghanistan for the last year and a half and his kids don't know that he's going to be home. Mm-hmm. But then his kids are going to be on the field and they're going to be doing the coin flip. But then dad's going to show up. I mean, that's marketing.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a great marketing tool too. Like when you have these these dope ass flyovers and these like Navy SEALs jumping out of an airplane. It's a great promotion for recruitment.
Yeah, absolutely. That, of course, that's why I'm trying to remember the name of the movie the SEALs did years ago. We've talked to Rourke Denver, what was the name of that movie?
I know what you're talking about. I got
SEAL Team 6, and anyway, I'll think of it.
Hey, Black Hawk Down.
That's a great movie though.
Yeah, really.
Black Hawk Down is amazing. It's one of my favorite war movies.
Yeah, it's an incredible movie. What's the name of this movie? Rourke Denver.
Act of Valor.
Act of Valor, right? Act of Valor. We should bring Rourke back on the show. Act of Valor, and he plays Rourke, but his name in real life is Rourke. So, you know, they did that movie just to recruit new Navy SEAL candidates. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, let's make being a Navy SEAL look dope.
It's going to be very interesting though, and then I do think that we. The fact that there are no sports, we don't have answers yet. Because, you know, normally teams are going to have a lot of time. Teams and leagues have a lot of time to figure it out. Because normally, if this was happening and sports was normally happening, people just act on a whim. You don't really kind of like get to plan it out for weeks at a time. Baseball would be happening right now. National anthem every day. Would anybody be kneeling every day during a national anthem in baseball right now? I don't know. But the fact that there are no sports, a lot of leagues, a lot of teams, a lot of players, they're going to have lots of time to get together and figure it out. So it's going to be a unified thing.
Wasn't there a white guy from the Oakland A's that took a knee?
I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
I don't know who he was, though.
I know. Think about how little impact it made.
You know, shout out to him, though.
Well, yeah, then you asked earlier last week, I think, or late last week, why did that happen? It's because he played quarterback. You know, Eric Reed didn't play quarterback. Eric Reed is like
another job.
Kenny Stills is still in the league. Right. How many countless other players knelt during the national anthem? Colin Kaepernick is a quarterback who was, I guess, on the decline already. He didn't have a great year.
He didn't have a great year.
He had a pinnacle.
That's true.
He had a pinnacle of his career. I mean, in his entirety, from the time he's drafted to the time he's out of the league. He had a plateau, which is when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl under Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
You can say he was on the decline in terms of his statistics and in terms of his performance and wins and so on.
But, John, don't think that I'm saying that he shouldn't have gotten another chance. There's plenty of worse quarterbacks than Colin Kaepernick. I was saying at the time, he's a quarterback who got picked on, and then the excuse was, he's not good anymore because he had a little bit of a downturn after the Super Bowls.
Well, even like you just look, since we're talking about him, for Kaepernick for a second, when you listen to a guy like Pete Carroll, who says things very congratulatory and very pro Kaepernick, you know, you ask yourself the question, well, if you're so pro Kaepernick, Pete, and if you so believe in him and the cause, and you were sympathetic and you were empathetic and everything else, when you had the opportunity to sign him, why did you not sign him?
Mm-hmm. But
I could give you a ton of football reasons why they might not have signed him. I mean, I'll play football analyst here for a second, not political analyst. From a football perspective, Russell Wilson's your star. Russell Wilson's your starter. Russell Wilson's the face of your organization. Now you bring Colin Kaepernick in. He's a very explosive personality, not him himself, meaning what goes on around him. Very Tebow-esque. People didn't want Tebow on their team because Tebow could become a distraction rather than an addition. And so I could see where if you're Pete Carroll, you want to make a football case. Here's why we didn't sign him. We have a starter who's a superstar. We don't need any commotion in the background of our quarterback situation. It was a pure football decision. Could I make that case? Sure, I think I can.
I think you're right about the things that surrounded Tim Tebow. Yes, you're 100% correct. Tim Tebow could not play quarterback. I understand your comparison. I don't like
when people do everybody that. Gets second chances in the NFL. Everybody.
Including Tim Tebow, third and fourth.
Yeah. But I just think what Scott's talking about, I think the last 4 years, like since the whole Kaepernick thing, the media really has exploded to like where it does become a distraction. That's why I think Johnny Manziel didn't get another chance. Besides him being bad quarterback, he was still a first round pick who was a great college player who never got a second chance because of the crazy shit that would have come with it if you signed him somewhere.
I think the issue with signing Colin Kaepernick at the time when Pete Carroll was always speaking very glowingly of him, he had a locker room full of guys who were like, we need to sign this guy. And we all know they were not petitioning for Russell Wilson either. So if you put this guy in a room with Russell Wilson and everybody on the defensive side of the ball is about Colin Kaepernick, but the coaching staff is about Russell Wilson, they were going to have friction because of that. And
That's why.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
From a football locker room cohesiveness, teamwork perspective, that you don't sign the guy. But it's interesting to go on the offensive and say how great he is, and I appreciate his cause. It's great. But you had a chance to give the man a job, and you chose not to.
But I also think on the other side to that coin is, at the same time, Jacksonville's quarterback was awful. Arizona's quarterback situation was awful.
The Bears.
Yeah. There's a long list of other teams with the Chicago Bears, by the way. Quarterback and situation at the time, awful. They still didn't do it. So I understand what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense.
But make no mistake. I mean, come on. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, let's face it, you're in the Deep South. And pre-George Floyd, Colin Kaepernick, you know, that's creating a quote-unquote firestorm for ownership. You know, that's why they stayed away. He's a better player. There's no question about it. Better player. Same thing with Arizona, though. I mean, think about the teams we're talking about. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you guys talked about this yesterday. If black people are going to get greater opportunities, particularly in management level positions, and let's use the NFL as an example, you said there need to be some black owners before there can be all, you know, this expectation, because people will take care of their own, is how you phrase it.
Or a very progressive white owner.
Right. And I don't think you have that in Arizona. Zero. I don't think you have it in Arizona, in a completely red state, number one. And you mentioned Shad Khan yesterday, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm not so sure he's that guy. Clearly, his actions are that he isn't thus far.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's a Trump. He gave money to Trump. So that's not going to happen.
Right. So that's my point, is that, you know, you got to have an owner who's willing to take the heat, which is why what I'm saying is this. If Colin Kaepernick is to get back into the NFL, and I know there's a whole argument out there because some people say he's out too long, he can't play anymore. I would argue this. You got Tom Brady, who's 40 plus. You got Drew Brees, who's 40 plus. You've got Philip Rivers, who's in his late 30s. You have plenty of examples of quarterbacks who didn't come into their best prime years until they were after 30 years old. Mm-hmm. It would occur to me that Colin Kaepernick, if given an opportunity to re-ingratiate himself back into daily football operations, could probably go back and be a starting quarterback for somebody. And if at worst, if nothing else, the man could be somebody's backup quarterback at the very least. So again, I would argue that if the time is right and the league has apologized and kneeling is now okay, everything's fine, okay, do whatever you got to do, that Kaepernick should get a job. And I argue that the most perfect place for him is the Minnesota Vikings, because he's not going to be the starter there. He's going to have to take backup money, and a city like Minneapolis could use this type of leadership. What do you say? I know you think that I'm just using him.
And we got the whitest quarterback alive in the NFL right now. So a little diversity in the quarterback room wouldn't hurt, man.
How about just put him in another division? How about that? I'm okay with that. Put him in another division.
Don't be selfish,
I think it's great.
Don't be selfish here.
How about this? How about Green Bay signs him? How about he's the backup to Aaron Rodgers?
Hey, man, out of the division. I don't put him on the Colts. I don't give a damn what team he's on, as long as he's not in the division, because I'm going to cheer for him. Whatever team he goes to, cheering for them.
I'll give you this one. You ready? Here's another idea for you. How about this? Colin Kaepernick to Tampa Bay to understudy with Tom Brady for a year or two. And, you take Tom Brady, the superstar of the league, the fresh face of the league, and you take Colin Kaepernick, the guy who was excommunicated, and you put them together and you put arm around both of these guys.
Let me just run through some names.
That's unity right there, buddy.
Let me just run through.
I would love that. My jersey would be in the mail already.
Let me run through some names of guys that are on NFL teams right now, and you tell me if you think Colin Kaepernick is better than these guys, okay? How about a quick exercise?
Go ahead.
Chad Henne.
Yes.
Kyle Shermer.
Who?
Tim Boyle.
Who he play for?
Cooper Rush.
Now, wait a second.
I think he played for the Giants.
Are you picking third string quarterbacks of every team?
No, I'm literally – some of these guys are backups. I'm literally on a Sports Illustrated article that was written April 10th talking about the quarterback situations for teams. Tim Boyle before Jordan Love was the Packers backup. Geno Smith, the Seahawks backup. Cooper Rush, the Cowboys backup. RG3, Trace McSorley, the Ravens backups. AJ McCarron, the Texans backup. I'm just telling you, like,
right, let me ask you this. Yeah. Let me ask you this. You're the Carolina Panthers. I give you the choice of Teddy Bridgewater or Colin Kaepernick as your starter. Money's the same. Who would you rather have?
I'm taking Teddy just because he proved that he could still play last year.
If you ask me, I got it from a football standpoint. I got to take Teddy Bridgewater because he proved he can play. Again, I want Kaepernick in the league. He's going to need a year to ride the bench.
To demand. Go for it. Sorry.
To get his legs and his body back underneath him. Michael Vick was in prison for less time than Colin Kaepernick's been out of the league. And it took Michael Vick a year just to learn how to run and throw a football again. So
yeah, if Kaepernick's coming back and trying to demand a starting position, that's just not possible right now. You haven't played for 3 years, dude. You got to just take the chance where you can get it.
How about the Jets or the Giants, New York as the home base of COVID, as a city that was protesting, rioting, then peacefully protesting, and a city where the mayor has already started to begin the talks about defunding the police department, which, by the way, after our conversation yesterday about defunding the police department, I started to listen to a lot of different perspectives on that. And the one perspective that I heard that I liked the most was, I think we better change the word here.
Defund.
Yeah. Yes.
People are hearing the word defund and they're going, whoa, what do you mean defund the police? You mean like just stop paying for cops or disband the police?
Reallocate.
And I'm like, okay, I watched this woman who is the city council member from Minneapolis. Did you guys see this woman yesterday? She's the president of the city council. And she has this interview and she's like, the thing about police is the people who want police are the people who have privilege. And I'm like, okay. So I just want to make sure I'm clear on something. Just to be clear, LeBron James is at home. Somebody breaks into his house. He doesn't want the police to exist. Don't sell me on the only people in America that don't want the police to be defunded are all these white people who call the cops every time they need to call the cops. Listen, I heard what you guys said yesterday. The phrase defund the police doesn't mean stop police forces and doesn't mean cut all the jobs. It means stop with the military tanks and stop with the warfare, you know, weaponry, which, by the way, I still don't agree. I don't agree right now, based on instant reaction, based on instant emotion, we can just automatically go, you know what? In 2 weeks, we've come up with complete police reform, so defund the police. I'd like to catch my breath. I'd like to pump the brakes. I'd like to give this a whole lot more thought. I'd like to understand the issue a whole lot better. And I'd also like to change the terminology.
And that's okay, by the way.
Defunding the police sounds like you're stopping the police force, and that sounds ridiculous to me.
But let me, as you like to say, Scott, let me provide you an alternative perspective on this.
Please do.
The other side.
The reason why I want this to be figured out in the next, before this month is over, is because we in this country politically tend to let things stay out there until now they're so out of sight, out of mind. There's no longer action behind all the things that have happened in the streets. There's no longer action or a cry for action for the life of George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or these other people who have been killed at the hands of police. This is very similar to gun violence. They shoot up a school. People go, this is not the time to talk about this. And people go, okay. Then they shoot up another school and go, this isn't the time to talk about this. Okay. When is the time to talk about
something? Let me ask you a question. Does anybody have this thing figured out yet?
Well, they introduced the bill yesterday. The House.
Within 2 weeks. Hey, we better hurry up and do this. Well,
how about yesterday where people showed up to Faulkner's house to chant at him, shame on you, because they just added $27 million to the San Diego Police Department's budget yesterday.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. Listen, I get it. Cops need that cash, man.
Well, let me give you my perspective on it. And I think about it the opposite way. Don't take money away from the police department. Put more money into the police department so that you get better police officers. You see, it's kind of like the military. When you graduate from college, you go into the military as an officer. You guys understand, right? You're making more money. You've got more status. There's you go into the military as a college graduate, you're an officer, and being an officer is gives you more clout than being an enlisted man. You understand? Now in the police force, there are some guys or women who go in and they are college graduates. They studied criminal justice. They want to be a cop. They go in, they're cops, but not everybody is like that. My point is that if you increased the pay and you made it a more lucrative job that people would want, then you'd get better quality people. Right now, you're talking about the difference between an enlisted man and an officer. And I would argue that more money would mean more officers. More officers would mean higher qualified people. So
I got to educate myself more to even give a comment on it, because I am just new to the whole thing too. And when I'm reading that cities the size of San Diego have never attempted it, cities the size of Minneapolis have never attempted it. So before I even tell you that you're right or you are wrong, I don't know. And I have been reading on it to try and get a better idea of what it means. I know defund the police doesn't mean get rid of police officers in your city. I know that. But
the word sounds wrong.
The word does sound wrong. Right. But that's what I'm saying. So let's just, at least we can clarify that defund the police doesn't mean get rid of San Diego Police Department.
I also, but again,
I get what you're saying.
But this woman in Minneapolis, when she said this to me,
To you?
To anybody who was watching, she said, "Hey, you only want the police because that's privilege." I went, "Really?" Because let me tell you something. There are plenty of people who live in a much lesser socioeconomic situation than I personally live in, and they call the police when they need them as well. Domestic violence, drug issues, fires, whatever the case, crime. There are plenty. It's not just rich white people that need or want the police in America. And I'll just say this respectfully to everybody. There are certain things I just can't be like just bullied into, like make a decision, yes or no, right now. Like what that woman did to the mayor of Minneapolis, who walks out of his house dressed in his Sunday football gear, and you tell me yes or no right now, and then motherfucking him and all this other stuff, and the walk of shame. If I were the mayor at that time, I'd be like, well, first of all, let me say this. This is a city of a couple million people. They voted for me. I'm the mayor. I'm not going to just say what you want me to say for this crowd here today. I have to be the leader of all the people, not just the people that are here today. So anyway, all right, listen, I want to take a second yet again to thank all of our great sponsors. Browner just texted me. His phone's about to die, so he's been getting up and dealing with his stuff.
It's cool. They can't hear him. I muted him.
No, it's okay. I can see
we
him.
We can hear him.
So yeah, I don't know what's going on. I want to say thanks to Corky's Pest Control, 1-800-901-1102. Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services, 858-376-1299. And Torrey Holistics, where you can save 20% when you're using our promo code GRANDE. So let me just address one other thing.
Wait, did y'all mute me while I was gone?
I did.
Okay, my man.
Was I not supposed to?
No, I'm glad you did.
We heard the first
time. I heard you say, like,
God damn it.
Yeah, I heard you say, God damn it. That's when I muted you.
Yeah, dude. I my phone is anyway. Sorry.
It's all good. So listen, here's the last thing for me. I noticed on Sided today. Oh, let me talk about that for a second. Our mobile app was approved by Apple.
Oh,
all right. Yeah. All right.
You guys don't even understand. It's a big deal. I mean, it's a really big deal. I received the email yesterday from Apple that our app had been approved to go into the App Store, and I was stoked. Now, here's what happened.
Going on the store.
I'd say within like another week. And here's why. Because you just want to test it and make sure that there's no bugs and make sure that there's not something. You'd hate to put it out there and there's something wrong in the software and then people decide they'll never come back again. I hope that anybody who's watching and listening right now would like to join me. We can only take 100 people. The first 100 people that send me an email. You can send me an email, scott@sided.co, scott@sided.co, scott@sided.co. The first 100 people that email me, you will get into the beta test of Sided the app. And I've already gotten from Christian Ramirez, who wrote this question on Sided today about whether or not we should be back on live. He got the email yesterday to beta test. He's like, dude, whoa, what a difference between the speed and the performance of the app versus the website. John, you already got it, huh?
That's right, baby. A little exclusivity. Yeah.
While you were talking, I just commented on the first debate. Is it time for Scott and BR to go live again? And I said, nope, stay home.
Yeah. I said, I also said, nope, stay home. I did. I swear.
Cases are spiking in California again.
Dude, I have a friend of mine, really close friend of mine, who called me yesterday and said that the doctor told him that he should quarantine again because his child had a fever. He's not saying it's COVID. He's not saying it's Corona. He's very simply saying, we don't know. So you should quarantine for yet another 2 weeks. And so for me, I'm still of the opinion that I want to see what happens in the next 2 weeks. Are there going to be big spikes? Are there going to be big spikes close to me? Did all my buddies who went to Arizona because it was open and then came back and then I high-fived them or I gave them a bro hug because, man, I miss you, man. I fucking love you, man. Give me a hug. and so now you were in Arizona.
Did you say, I fucking love you?
Yeah.
You know, he did.
Yeah. No, somebody. But did you actually yeah, fucking grab your
here,
bro?
Man. I fucking love you, dog. Come here. And so anyway, you know, if my buddy went over to Arizona and he came back and we hugged it out, and the next thing you know, I'm knocked down with Corona. I mean, I still think I'm 2 weeks away from really feel maybe like.
Also, I've read and people that were at the protests here in North Park in San Diego, they were told, if you can, quarantine for 14 days after being here. The same thing that you're just saying.
Smart.
I thought Brian was going to roll his eyes at us.
No. Why? No, it's smart.
Me and Brian are on the same team on Corona.
I know. Browner's gone back and forth on Corona. He's been on multiple sides.
Well, don't do that to me. I haven't been on multiple sides. I've said the same thing the whole time.
Yeah.
If you should go out and go out safely. If their business is open, you should go out. You should spend money in small businesses because they need it. But wear a mask. Wash your hands. Wear gloves if you can. Make sure you're sanitizing things when you go home. I was not like, hey, man, I'm going to go bro hug people like you, apparently.
Yeah, dude, I've had this debate with myself about going to visit my mom and giving her a hug. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, I still don't know. Like, 4 months later, I'm like, I don't know. Is that a smart thing to do? My mom has asthma, man. Like, I'm not trying to, like, kill my mom by hugging her.
Like, how many of us can honestly say we can remember each person we've come in contact with within the last 14 days?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Right. That's very difficult to do unless you trap yourself in your home like we did when we first started.
The only person I've touched, and before you turn into a sexual joke, is my fiance. Like, that is the only person that I've touched, like, with my hand in – I don't know. I saw Scott. I don't even think I touched you.
I tried to give him a bro hug.
Yeah.
He wasn't having it.
Nope.
He wasn't having it. All right. Listen, let me say this. I'm so glad today we've taken a deep breath.
Congrats on the app though, dude.
Oh, dude. Thank you. You know,
that's huge.
It is huge. It's taken a lot of time. It's taken a lot of money. It's taken a lot of, you know, working hard. It's taken a lot of engineers. It's taken a lot of, you know,
it's been 84 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's been 84 years. Ready for this app. So if you are somebody who's a great friend, if you're somebody who's playing on Sided, if you're tired of waiting because the website is slow, I get it. It was never intended to host this many people. If you would like to be a beta tester, I'm talking one of the first 100 people to get the Sided app before it goes into the Apple App Store, whether you're using an iOS device or you're using an Android device, send me personally an email, scott@sided.co. Why did I just give my email out? scott@sided.co.
Not the first time.
I know. And I will put you on the list and we'll send you an email. You get an app called Test Flight. And then you download this app called Test Flight, and then you can download the Sided app within the app. But then you'll never have to use the website again. You'll always be using the app, which is faster. It's easier to post pictures. It's just as easy to post citations, but it will be faster. And you'll probably want to create more content than ever before because it's so much faster.
This is where Bernard should start shaking in his boots, because once his app is out, and I've literally just voted and commented in the last 5 minutes on about 10 debates. And if it's this easy, Bernard's going to have some competition now.
There's one guy who works for the company. His name is Jake. He's number 3 on the leaderboard right now. He's got 101 points. Bernard's already out to 229 points. We're only on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Jake is trying to catch Bernard. He works for the company. He saw me try last week and only finish in third place. He's like, I'm going for him this week. He's 128 points back, but he's created a lot of debates. And I think what Jake is doing is he's going for the points that you receive when you create the debate, not just win the debate.
What I think you guys don't understand, okay, is that Bernard has the power of the people on his side, okay? So the man keeps trying to come in and say, I'm going to beat you at this. I'm going to beat you. But Bernard has the people on his side. He is the Malcolm X of Sided. He is the Martin Luther King of Sided, okay?
Wow, wow.
Damn, that's high praise.
He got the people. He got the people on his side. That's why he keep winning.
Damn, if I said that, I'd be in trouble today. I don't know with who, but I'd be in trouble. Yeah.
Someone. There's somebody out there.
Yeah, right. Okay, listen, I want to say to everybody who's watching, everybody who's listening, do us the favor, first and foremost, please make sure you like the YouTube show. Like, while the show is on or while you're watching clips, make sure you hit the thumbs up and the like button. Subscribe. I'm like embarrassed that we can't get ourselves to 4,000 freaking subscribers on YouTube. Subscribe. Like, and again, for those of you that would like to beta test, and this is, imagine if Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or LinkedIn or any app that you might use said to you 2 weeks before it comes out in the App Store, you want to try it in advance? You want to be an early tester? That's what this is like, dude. It's really cool. So you're in early. So make sure you email me, scott@sided.co. Browner looks frozen to me, Grande. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to everybody watching, much love, appreciation, you know, stay healthy, stay safe, and we will pick it all up together again mañana. Until then, peace.